sandwich floor.
Be of
WNRN Charlotte on WNRS FM, Sweetbriar Amherst, Lynchburg. You just heard from Ricky Skaggs and Kentucky Thunder with Going Back to Old Kentucky. Cody Shuler and Pine Mountain Railroad. Before that, brand new CD called Pickin', Praisin' and Singin'. We heard Rock of Ages, Big Country Bluegrass before that, with All That's Left for You to Do is Leave. Michael Cleveland along with Flamekeeper, the latest from them, we heard Leavin' Town. Laurie Lewis started us off with Blue Days and Sleepless Nights. The past hour of Bluegrass Sunday morning has been brought to you by Playin' 9 Music, featuring new and used CDs, DVDs, and video games, as well as listening stations and ordering of non-stock items. You can find out what's new with Playin' 9's weekly email. The sign-up is at plan9music.com. Playin' 9 is in Albemarle Square, Charlottesville, as well as the Kroger Shopping Center, Harrisonburg, in the Candler Shopping Center, Lynchburg, and in Richmond's Carytown. Playin' 9, what a record store should be. This past hour has also been brought to you by Heinz Musitronics, locally owned and operated since 1979. Heinz sells, services, and leases musical instruments as well as PA and DJ equipment, including wireless microphones. Heinz has what you need to use your iPod or computer playlist for your next event. That's Heinz Musitronics, where musicians and technology meet, 2171 University Avenue, and at HeinzMusitronics.com. Additional support today from the Seville Market at 221 Carlton Road in Cathay Shopping Center, locally owned and operated. The Seville Market offers conventional and organic produce, imported and domestic cheeses and wines, local meats, and a variety of groceries. This week's specials include local McIntosh apples and acorn squash. The Seville Market is open Monday through Friday, 8 to 7, Saturday, 8 to 5. Bluegrass Sunday Morning is a copyrighted presentation of WNRN and the program producer. It may not be reproduced or sold without permission. If you have any questions or comments about this program, you can write to us here. Write to Rusty Sempre at WNRN 2250 Old Ivy Road, Suite 2, Charlottesville, Virginia, 22903, or email me at bluegrasssundaymorning@wnrn.org. And be sure to include the date on which you heard the program, which today would be September 21st. That's a wrap for Bluegrass. Thank you guys so much for all your phone calls. Hope I got to your requests, because next week I'm looking for even more phone calls. Can't wait to hear from you, as our fundraiser for Bluegrass is next Sunday. So start saving those pennies and make sure to touch base with us next Sunday and help keep this delightful program on the air. I do appreciate it, and looking very forward to hearing from you next Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. I'll leave you with Rhonda Vincent with Bluegrass Saturday Night on WNRN.
on, man.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Well, I believe that's me. Rusty, is the right guy running the microphone today?
Yes, sir.
All right. Rick Moore here in the studio today. It is September 21st. We have not changed dates on the calendar since Rusty left a few minutes ago. It is the Sunday before Fundraiser Sunday, so please start saving up, as Rusty said. Fundraiser Sunday next week on WNRN. But this week, it's Sports Sunday on WNRN. And for those of you who are not sports fans, please don't start doing something else, because the show is set up to be not just about, hey, who are we recruiting this week, and, you know, what's going to happen with the basketball team now that, you know, these guys have coming in with their first year and who's left the team. That's not how the program is to be today. I want to talk about some things. It's I think I titled it Sports in the Real World, and we can, you know, kind of dial up as we get going with your definition of today's program. My friend Joe is here today. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it doing, Rick?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for coming in. We may or may not have a special guest join us later. He told me I will get there if I can rearrange some family things, and we'll leave it as a secret special guest until...
A possible teaser.
Yes, a teaser. Good word. Good word choice. I like that. Let's switch that so that you're talking into that side of the microphone.
Better?
Oh, yes. All always right. Better. My life gets better every moment. Anyway, a couple of the things that we want to talk about this hour. So write down the number 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's 1-877-967-6762, because I know that especially lately, wow, Lee Channing was here last week, Rusty, and we got hit with phone calls from all over the listening area, Richmond, Lynchburg, where was that place that was near?
Boston, Virginia.
That's right. Boston, Virginia was cool. Yeah, she was like describing that as somewhere in the Culpeper-ish, near Sperrysville, I think. So we got calls from all over, and I hope that we will again today, because I think that again, the topic is not meant to be about UVA sports in general and how the teams will be doing or are doing. The topic is meant to be about some decisions in the UVA sports department and how they are playing out in the everyday real world, both to sports fans and to fans and to people who are not particularly sports fans. So write down the number and get ready. Joe, I asked you to be on the program because you are a big sports fan, and more than, and Rusty and I were chatting a little bit before we started the program today, and, you know, Rusty is a big fan of the women's basketball sports team. I think he and his daughter go to a lot of games. My job and my social life don't allow me to be quite as much of a fan in terms of reading the paper and going to the websites as I might have been in the past. But you.
Yes.
You, sir, you rock.
It's a passion. It's a passion. Sometimes it's a blessing and a curse.
And why do you say that?
Being a Virginia sports fan is my entire life. I'm going on 34 years. It's you definitely take the good with, or the bad with the good. They lure you in, and then they just kind of, they more often than not, they're breaking your heart. But it's, you know, you learn to live with it. So it's this is my 34th year of going to UVA football games, and coming up in a couple of weeks, I'll miss the ninth of my life. So I think I can thank my dad for that.
And why? Why are you thanking your dad?
He's footed the bill for most of those 34 years. But I love him, and as I told a friend this morning, he was making fun of how the Duke game has become a huge game next week, and
right.
I said, you know, it's, you know, if we're playing the 85 Bears, one of the best NFL teams of all time, it'd still be exciting. We know we may get ready to take one on the chin, but it would still be exciting. So,
And I think you've touched on a point for those of us who are sports fans, and again, this show is meant to be interesting to all people who follow the university and who follow, you know, things in the real world. But you're right in terms of the university sports is all about hooking you and then somehow letting you down, because it seems like we always win a game that we shouldn't and lose a game that we shouldn't.
Going back as far as I can remember, that's always been the case. You know.
All right. Let's start with 11:05 here on the Wake Up Call on WNRN. Joe is with us today. We will tease you with a potential special guest later on if he can make it in today. I don't know if he'll be here or not. The sign issue at Scott Stadium received a lot of attention.
A whole lot of attention.
Even in a national sense,
right.
Not just, you know, the student body being upset about it, but in a national presence, national magazines reaching that. And lay down sort of the groundwork for that.
As far as
the sign. I mean, because in the past, up until through the 2007 football season, we could take signs to the stadium.
Yeah, and I think what what it stems from is last year there was a student or a grad student, I'm not sure which, that held up a sign during the Duke game that said "Fire Grow," and then he was asked to remove it. No, he came up with a smaller version. So I think it was the size of a Post-it note or something. But no. No, eventually it was take the sign down or leave. And I can understand where the administration is coming from in the sense that it would be nice to be able to promote a positive environment where things like that, you know, don't happen. But at the same time, you know, if that person feels like it's that Groh needs to go, then no, he should be able to express his opinions. And I think I thought the whole thing was pretty silly at first, you know, because you're talking about 8, 9, 10 people a game, usually kids who, you know, want to get on TV, and they do their little UVA, ESPN spells, you know, spell out the letters, do whatever. But it definitely grabbed some Rick Riley's attention, and Rick Riley, you don't really want to mess with him.
And Rick Riley being a national columnist in sports world.
Former Backpage columnist for Sports Illustrated, now writes for ESPN the magazine and ESPN.com, and he picked up on the whole Jeffersonian freedom of speech issue and a snowball into an avalanche later. The university had some protests on their hands. And
it's something that we talked about. Is it really a big deal? I mean, certain people have turned it into a big deal, but there were already other state funded universities in Virginia, James Madison, Virginia Tech, that had this policy in hand.
Right.
Although I believe articles that I read from Richmond Times-Dispatch and others that said, you know, okay, or from administration at those two schools that said, you know, yeah, we're trying to keep up with that. That is the policy. You know, we don't frisk people as they come into the stadium to make sure of none. But yeah, that's the policy, and pretty much for the same reason. We don't want dirty words on TV. You know, we want to support the team, not detract from the team, and we don't want fans to block the view of other fans behind them.
That would be my main issue with the whole policy. As I've told people, you know, friends and people who sit around me, if someone was to come with a big sign and sit in front of me for half the game and not hold that sign up where it was obstructing my view, I would most likely ask them if I could borrow the sign and give them back 4 or 5 smaller versions of it. Now, I mean, that's just me. I've come to watch the games. I don't come to get on TV. But if it's a little kid sitting in front of me, I completely understand the fact that, you know, I was that little kid once. I can remember my mom taking me to the North Carolina Virginia basketball game where, you know, Ralph Sampson was playing against Michael Jordan and Sam Perkins, a huge like number two versus number three game, and I sacrificed my Superman poster to write a NBC UVA number one sign, and you know, and the students behind me helped me hold it up, because of course they're going to get on TV too. We sat in the student section, and so I understand, you know, where that piece of it, you know, would come to play, and how it's fun to make a sign and be clever and show your creativity, and now that's why where I don't understand the whole the administration's policy, because you know, 98% of the signs that you know, that come out are positive. I've only seen the fire grow is probably the only negative one I've ever seen in you know, all my years of going to UVA sporting events. So.
We are talking about some of the UVA administrations and the sports administration at the university and how that plays out in the real world to both sports fans and those folks who don't follow sports either at the university or in general. Dial us up with your comments. Right now we're talking about the UVA banning of signs at and it's not just the football stadium, although that's currently seems to be where it started, but my understanding is that you can't bring a sign to any university sporting event,
which is
soccer, lacrosse, you know, women's basketball.
Yeah, the WHO crew. I've seen some pictures where the WHO crew who comes to the JPJ for the you know, for men's and women's games, they came up with some great signs, and it'll be disappointing to see some of those go. I've seen a lot of pictures of really creative signs that they came up with over the last couple of years, and I guess those will be no longer as well. It's pretty disappointing. It's you know, overall just a you know. It's just a disappointing decision by an administration that doesn't seem to cater to the fan, to the wants and needs of the fan base anymore. To me, they kind of are catering more to the high dollar these days.
979-0919 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's 979-0919 if you're the local crew. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS if you're a little further out and need the toll-free number. You know, Joe, as we talk about UVA sports and how it plays out everywhere, somebody asked me, and I went to some of the online websites to get this information, if the university can ban a sign at Scott Stadium, where else can they ban a sign? And I know that you read a lot of the sports websites and blogs, et cetera. And one of the things that I guess bothers me more than anything is that the university has done almost nothing to reply to any of these questions. Al Groh, who, and again, I don't want to get into the fire or keep Al Groh. I have no problem with Al Groh as a coach. But why doesn't he say, that doesn't bother me about the signs? I don't care about the signs because supposedly he is so focused on the game, none of that other stuff bothers him.
Right.
So if the administration is saying we want a more upbeat atmosphere, you know, what is his opinion on it? If other people are saying what qualifies as a sign, where else might you ban a sign? The university has said nothing. Have you participated in any of these discussions online?
I've seen one,
or just with friends.
I've seen one suggestion that the students one night should remove all signs from grounds. You know, any a sign pointing to to the corner, the you know, signs in front of any of the academic buildings, just remove all signs because those are no longer allowed at UVA anymore. So, which you know, that may be frowned upon a little bit. They may get some students into some trouble. But I've seen one that recommendation. As far as Al speaking out, I remember he did make one comment about what you referenced that he doesn't notice those things during the game. He's more focused. And given the account, events of the last week to 2 weeks, I'm not sure that Al is allowed to make statements anymore. It seems like when he does make a statement, it's just undermined by someone else in the administration. So,
yeah, and that having to do with something we'll get to later on in the program about student athletes getting in trouble,
right,
and whether that's in the media alert that goes along with it, and whether that's fair or not.
Yeah, I would like just what you said. I would like to hear, some of the higher ups in the administration, Craig Littlepage. I doubt President Castine is going to really comment on sign issues. That's probably matters beneath him. But I would like to hear an actual conversation as to, you know, why they made the decision they did, and other than the very politically correct, trying to promote a positive environment. You know, it's, you know, what are they trying to not see? What, no, you know, why is a I love UVA sign not allowed anymore? That's, now, to me, I love UVA sign is a pretty positive sign, and I know they also got into we're going to eliminate all signs because we don't want to make the determination of what's a positive and what's a negative. But it just seems like a very silly idea to me.
It is 11:15 here on the Wake Up Call. Feel free to dial us up, ask your question. 979-0919. We do have instant messaging, WNRN Studio, and that is an AOL issue. I just had one come across on the WNRN Studio, which follows up with what is a sign, and commenting on the fact that at the Richmond game, the second home football game, that a lot of the students showed up with blank pieces of paper and held them up as signs.
Great silent protest.
And I am unaware of any commentary by UVA administration. I am unaware of anything done by the gentleman in the yellow jackets.
Yeah, the silence was deafening, wasn't it?
The event people who, I guess, run wild, you know, catch you if you run wild. No one was kicked out. What's your take on that? You were at the game.
I was at the game. I saw it happen. I laughed. I thought it was great. Now, it's, you know, for something that really, like I said, kind of avalanched out of control, it was a great move by the students. It showed a lot of organization. I was very impressed. And this is coming from someone who doesn't really, you know, give to whatever's about the whole sign controversy. You know, have them, just don't have them in front of me. But I thought it was beautifully organized and a point well taken.
Two things that I've heard about from friends and read about, I guess, on some of the blogs and websites in preparation for this program. The university still allows signs, but only signs from... only signs from the people who pay for them.
Right, right.
Wachovia, the lot, you know, Virginia Lottery, et cetera.
It pays to be a part of Team Virginia.
Yeah. Right. And what is the difference there? In one sense, we've been told you can't have a sign, although this, what is a sign has not been properly defined. And then we also have the signs that are there. There are signs atop of the scoreboard. There are signs that run elsewhere around the stadium. Granted, they do not block other people's view.
I've seen a
but
yeah, I've seen a couple ideas on the renting the airplanes to fly around Scott Stadium with certain signs on them. it's, you know, apparently it can be done pretty cheap. So, as some of our Hokie friends can attest to. If you saw the signs flying over the Gator Bowl last year, but it's again shows you how, you know, perhaps they take us up on some of the, you know, if you put together enough bucks and present that to the administration, they like money, so they I doubt that they would turn that down. Well, they may.
And the other part to that question, actually, you know what? I'm going to save part two of that question. We'll have our other teaser here. Because I need to do this. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today, highs 75 to 80. Clear tonight, lows 50 to 55. Good sleeping weather. Sunny tomorrow, highs 75 to 80. Right now, there's a cloud or two across the listening area, but in the valley, it's 60, 62 in Lynchburg, 65 in Richmond, and a lovely 60 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, let's thank Alt Energy of Charlottesville for designing and installing solar energy systems in Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Alt Energy solar systems are now practical and reliable and can pay for themselves in a few years while reducing your carbon footprint. You can also make a difference by having the kids turn off lights when they leave a room and making sure windows are shaded when the air conditioner is in use. More can be found at altenergyincorporated.com. And another carbon footprint piece would be to turn off your air conditioner when it's 60, 70 degrees outside. All right, sports in the real world here at WNRN's Wake Up Call, 1121 here in the studio today. Joe's with us. You can be with us too, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Joe, we were talking about a couple things that the university has done to seemingly break their own rule by having the Team Virginia signs inside the stadium, although, granted, they are positive signs.
True. Wachovia stockholders may not agree with that, but...
also, you know, we were told well in advance of the first home football game that signs were now not allowed. That was in the Daily Progress. That was in the Richmond Times-Dispatch. It was all over the University of Virginia Sports Information World online, the blogs, the multiple websites. And then we walk into the first football game, and what do they give us?
The rally towels.
Right, these rally towels. Everybody gets an orange towel to, you know, wind around your head when good things are going on, which, granted, we didn't rally around our heads for much of that first game.
Kept the sun off my head.
But that seemed to be to break all rules. It had printing on it, correct?
True. Power of orange, right?
Which is a sign. You can hold it up and use it in a manner that would bother the people behind you.
True.
Yet they were handed out for free so that of the whatever 65,000 plus people who were accounted as being in attendance, I don't know how many people actually got them, but it looked like a good 2/3 to 3/4 of the fans actually accepted one.
Yeah.
And I just find it hard to believe that, as you mentioned earlier, that almost every sign ever put in place at the stadium has been to been a positive sign for the team and to, you know, be clever and make television. And this seemed to fit in the same way, but break the rule that they had just made for the first game.
Yeah, yeah. It's
What have you read about it on the sports blogs, et cetera?
I haven't really seen much about that, and it's I have seen and read a post where making fun of the decision and making fun of all the signs that are up, the Team Virginia signs, so to speak, about. I haven't really heard much about that, although I have heard a lot about the whole what constitutes a sign and wearing T-shirts in, and if I wear a T-shirt that says fire casting or fire whoever, would they make you remove the T-shirt? Which on some folks, I hope they would not. But that,
please no comment on me.
I think you're going to see a lot of those T-shirts that all of a sudden are, rather than holding up the cardboard sign, you're going to see a lot of T-shirts instead that maybe have some negative stuff on it.
Well, and then there's also been the whole thing about, at a lot of sporting events, you see the people who paint their faces,
right,
or paint their stomachs and chests.
It's a sign.
That's right. But if you walk in and you walk in with a white T-shirt that has a big F on it, and then the next person has a big I, and then somebody else with a big R. But if you walk in different parts of the stadium, but you gather in your seats, it's not going to be a sign until you stand up and show it that way. And then are they going to come, and what are they going to come do? But you've made your statement, and they can wear your shirt inside out after you've already made your statement.
I kind of shudder to think what the people in the yellow jackets, how they would handle that situation.
The evil people in the yellow jackets. If you've never been to a university sporting event, people are actually fairly nice people, but their responsibility is to keep calm stadium and find people who snuck in their pints and are misbehaving in some fashion. Did you hear that, Sarah? Misbehaving in some fashion. That the university is not proud of.
Buzz killers, I think, is what they refer to often.
Ooh, I like that. Buzz killers. All right. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is letting us talk about this today. You can go back to school in mountain style this year with PAX footwear and clothing from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. Blue Ridge has over 15 styles of PAX from the North Face. And if it's a padded laptop or courier bag you're looking for, Blue Ridge Mountain Sports has them too. From Ground, Timbuktu, and Patagonia, Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and at brms.com. All right, let's jump off the sign topic and move into, I guess, more of a current events issue. One of the things that I've always asked, there's been, and we'll stick with the football team for now, there have been a lot of football players making the news for illegal actions.
Right.
And I want to know if what your belief is that any greater percentage of the student body than the normal students?
You know, I don't read the police blogs on a consistent basis, but I would, if I had to guess, I would say no. One thing, no, there seems to be a media thing these days where it's jump on the guys that can be jumped on, and praise them for things that they do right, but just pile on them for things they do wrong. And I was talking to somebody this week about this, and I think one of the issues is, 20 years ago when George Welch was here, they had guys messing up, but it was a whole lot easier to keep that stuff quiet. Because basically we had one sports guy in town on 29 News, and I don't think he did a whole lot of investigative journalism. We had one radio station that reported on sports, and now you've got four TV stations, a couple all sports radio stations, the internet, three or four different sites dedicated exclusively to UVA sports, and it's a big thing in the media right now to pile on as much as you can if something negative happens, and to not really focus on anything positive at all. It's positive seems to be I don't know how to explain it, but positive is not good. Negative, real good. So,
well, and I think many people understand what you're speaking about, which is because it's not just sports news that does that. I mean, when you turn on any nightly news,
right,
you don't see that. They always end with the happy humanitarian story, but the previous 27 minutes have been devoted to the awful events around the world and locally, the hurricane, the fire, the gun shooting, et cetera.
Right.
And we go out on a good note, but nobody wants to hear about that. That's not what attracts attention and numbers of readers or listeners or viewers.
Right. Now, I mean, I think especially over the last couple of weeks, with Peter Lawless' situation, you first had reports from the Cav Daily where, he had refused a drug test and broken his probation, and it's sounded like jail time was imminent, when more reports came out later, he hadn't refused a drug test. He had been taking drug tests. The discussion he'd had with his probation officer, which was supposed to be a sealed document, was leaked. Things kind of spun out of control really quickly.
And who are you talking about at the moment?
Peter Lawless and his situation, the Virginia quarterback.
The Virginia starting quarterback.
The former Virginia starting quarterback.
But at the start of the year.
At the start of the year, exactly. And it's, I feel bad for everybody involved in the situation. I think it's a situation where you've taken a 19-year-old kid and what's supposed to be the most fun 4 to 5 years, to six in some cases, of your life. And I went to the University of Alabama my first year of college, and I was involved with a basketball program. And the football team had some controversy over the summer where the star player, David Palmer, had been arrested for a DUI early in the summer. And he'd gotten a one-game suspension, which in Alabama is, if you know anything about Alabama football, that's almost blasphemy right there, actually suspending a football player. But David went out that night after the first football game and got a second DUI and received a 4-game suspension. We were called into the basketball program, and our coach, David Hobbs, at the time, told us that you're in a fishbowl. Everybody involved with the athletic program is in a fishbowl, and everybody's watching exactly what you do at all times. So don't mess up. And I think that some of our student-athletes need to realize that or be made more aware of the fact that, everybody's watching what you do. Internet report. Some of the websites I go to, there are students that get on, and it can tell you on a Saturday night who's at what bar, and if you know how old they are, they're not supposed to be in that bar, and they're probably not in the bar just hanging out. You've got to be more aware of what you're doing, and in some cases who you're surrounding yourself with. So, it's been an unfortunate 2 weeks for the football program, I'd say. And there's been, again, one of the things, going back to the sign issue, I wish the administration would be a little bit more upfront with what happened. And they're asking for a lot of money from a lot of people to step up. Ticket costs have gone up every year over the past probably 10 to 15 years. This past year they did a reseating, where they asked for people to reach deeper.
Boo,
that actually worked out pretty well for me. So, ask people to reach deep into their pockets, in order to just keep your seats. Doesn't seem like we're getting a very we're definitely not getting our money's worth. But some of the decisions that have been made over the last month or so, it just are really confusing.
All right, here's another question over the internet message. You're welcome to dial us up and put your voice on air, or just Deepak's here today, just tell him that you what the question is, and he'll bring it into you. 979-0919-1877-WNRN-University. And it says, a simple question, do we know that there is any different percentage than the rest of the university? And my answer to that is no, I don't.
No.
But, and Joe, you sound like you're much more aware of the number of people. Where did that?
Over the last.
I was looking for my newspaper.
Yeah, over
and
the last.
Rusty standing here. Rusty, see if you can count up, because here's the article about Lalek being removed. And I'm going to open this to the proper page. And at the end of this, Rusty, it sort of gives the everyone who's been in trouble this summer. So you can count up the names that are mentioned for me.
Legally, I can think of five. I can think of five guys over the last 12 months who've had legal issues. And you're looking at 85 scholarship players plus your walk-on players. So on the football team, you're talking about probably 5% of the football population. I would register a guess that more than 5% of the overall student population has had some type of legal issue over the past 12 months.
But just not printed in the paper.
Exactly. We're not printed. Probably printed in some section, but just printed where nobody cares.
Sort of, yeah. That agate type.
Right. I'm sure there's not a reporter at the Daily Progress that whose job is to look through the police blog or go down to the to the magistrate and see who has been look for specific names on specific rosters
and Rusty
who's been
matches
arrested.
Up. Rusty says counting the Lalek article
yeah.
that there are four others listed in the back paragraph, so five. So you're on target with that. And I guess a follow up question to that is it fair the fact that you are getting your your tuition paid for, that you are getting the use of extra facilities and extra, you know, food services better that the majority of the university students are not receiving, that many, if not all, are receiving specific tuitional. Well, I invent words all the time.
That's a pretty good
tutors, one. Tutors, that they're getting tutors, yeah. Personal tutors. Is it fair to be in the fishbowl?
That's a tough question. I would say that as far as a scholarship goes, if we're going to suspend or penalize every kid at UVA who's on scholarship for anything, for having a beer at age 20, no, you're probably going to be looking at a lot more kids that are on suspension right now. Now, as far as the extra benefits that go along with having an athletic scholarship, I think Coach Grow has pointed out before that, you know, to play football or to play any sport for university, it's a privilege. It's a privilege that's been given to them. It's definitely not a right, and it's something that has to be earned, and you need to respect that privilege. I think there are a lot of young people across the street that are not familiar with that. That's, you know, and a lot of these kids, you know, for the past 6 years or 8 years, or however long they've, you know, high school sports through their college athletic careers, they've been catered to because they've been the man or the woman or as long as they've been able to bounce a ball or carry a stick, do whatever their expertise is, and it's something that, unfortunately, it sells newspapers. The college athletics here in Charlottesville are definitely a huge revenue producer, and it's, you ask any retailer around that, when UVA is ranked in the top 5 or top 10 in the country, if there are more people in restaurant seats or more T-shirts being sold, or I guarantee that we're making more money in the local area than we are when we go 2-9 or 3-8, and there's not as many people traveling into town.
So. Yeah, I should have asked Mark Mincer.
Yeah.
To talk about the difference between the current retail sales,
yeah,
and previous retail sales.
Yeah, I know when UVA, back in 1990 when we were number one in the country, the Monday that the polls came out, my friends and I were at Mincer's that Tuesday morning to get the T-shirt. We were there at 8 a.m., so that should say a little something.
All right, we are talking with Joe about university sports, but how it fits into the real world in terms of the sign issue at the university, and now we've moved on to the fairness of the glass bowl in which university athletics and the student athletes find themselves in. We've gotten several instant messages, but glad to take a phone call. Deepak's here to pass you through. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Joe's really on top of his game today with knowledge. Joe, here's something that I want to toss out at you and get your comment from, something I found online. It says, when you look at the 18 to 25 male age group for use of illicit drugs, and this is a sort of a student body, obviously, the percentage is 17% in the overall student body. And that comes from both a University of Texas and a Los Angeles Times studies that were found for 2005.
That participate in the use of?
17% of the student body of the 18 to 25-year-old male age group have had illicit drugs, and that's two separate reports.
What's illicit?
I think that counts as pot.
Okay.
Coke.
Okay.
Fun mushrooms, things like that.
I'm almost probably a little bit surprised the number's so low.
Well, and that's their point,
right?
Is that everyone would say the overall student body is 17, and I think for many people that they would assume that it's much higher because they assume, based on the news reports, that the athletic group is so much higher.
Yeah, there's definitely a perception out there right now that that the teams that UVA is fielding, they may have a marijuana problem. Like there's just been too many instances reported over the last couple of years where guys are suspended for this or suspended for that, or a couple of years ago there was guys got arrested in there I don't remember if they got arrested or a citation given, but there was a party going on in their apartments, and a couple of the players were involved. But Ahmad Brooks comes to mind, somebody who was constantly having to be suspended
And he's a good name to bring up because a lot of people have questioned the style and the personality type of athlete that is brought in to the university, and whether or not that climate has changed, and whether or not it has anything to do with the coach or the athletic director or the university president, but the path that the university has decided to go towards so that we can be in the top 10 or number one in a variety of sports. And does this supposed drug problem or alcohol problem have anything to do with that?
I think it's more of a culture today amongst young people that they're willing to try some stuff while they're in that 18 to 25 age group.
But the numbers, the national numbers, would show that that's not true anymore. If you listen to, NPR, at some point they'll always tell you that the national studies say that there are fewer kids trying that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, that's also they're taking polygraphs while they're taking while they're answering those surveys. I mean, that's I would say that any study like that, it's got definitely has a plus or minus error number on it. But it's tough because I think there's again a culture right now where a lot of these kids, they're looking up to the NFL guys, they're looking at the NBA guys, the brand of quote music they're listening to, whatever that they're surrounding themselves with, may or may not be why they're deciding, making the decisions they're making. I would love to say that I think that five guys on in the athletic department or within the teams on the athletic department are smoking pot or drinking underage, but I'm pretty positive that that number is a whole lot higher than that. And,
don't these student athletes get tested regularly?
Yeah.
But certainly with urine sample, I don't know about blood sample.
Yeah, it's all randomly done too. Your name comes up on the computer, and I think Peter Lalek, for example, has it was during the court testimony that he had gone 4-for-4 in passing his random drug tests, and which are they're tested for drugs and alcohol. If not for his own admission that he had smoked marijuana over the summer, the marijuana issue would have never come out. But he told his probation officer that he had done that apparently, and which I've gotten that court sealed document that said that wasn't supposed to make it out to the media is where he said that. So, he did admit to it, and so we know that at least that was something he was dabbling in.
All right, 11:43 here on the wake-up call with Joe as we talk about university sports and how that plays out in the Charlottesville area and some of it in the real world as a whole. Hang tight.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, students, tourists, and townspeople seem to be meeting at the train tracks near 15th Street and the corner. And then they cross the tracks despite the law making it illegal. The Hook takes a look. 50 years ago, the governor of Virginia ordered two Charlottesville schools closed rather than admit black children. Two citizens try and remind us of that shameful time. And can a bridge for bikes and feet be built over the Ravanna? One man is trying to make it happen. The Hook. No lipstick needed. And let's thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746 and at brgtshirts.com. And hang tight, because at noon, it's our man Drew Thompson bringing on Les Temps Purdue, the best of 80s and 90s alternative. For whatever reason, he doesn't play Britney Spears or Tiffany or Journey, but he loves Luscious Jackson, David Bowie, and Oasis. And he likes your requests. Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, back in action. 979-0919. You got a question or a comment for Joe?
Let's get a caller. Come on.
Yeah, well, I got some internet messages today, which is unusual. Usually I get one from Sarah telling me to shut up and let the guest talk. I got that one again today, too. But a couple others as well. I'm not sure where everybody is. Maybe they're enjoying this beautiful weather.
It is beautiful outside.
Drew, what's the, is it Star 919 from?
Star NRN.
Star NRN from somebody. From Intellos Wireless. You can see how much attention I pay to other people. Star NRN if you're driving around in this beautiful day. All right, Joe. I'm just curious. Actually, there's the phones ringing now. Sometimes that's all it takes is shameful.
guilt.
Shameful guilt. Yes, thank you. I'm curious about your take on it and what you've read about. You know, we've been talking about... what's happening in terms of the numbers of athletes, but we've kind of focused on the football team.
Yeah.
You know, Rusty was talking before he left today about a lot of times something happens to a player, whether it's a female on the women's basketball team who is let go for, you know, reasons, and I can't think of the phrasing that's used, and possibly you can, but reasons that are private to the team or personal reasons or whatever.
Detrimental to the conduct of the university.
Detrimental to the conduct of the university or the team, correct. And that makes so much, it's so much less of a point. Let's take the caller. And then I'll come back with that mixed question that I had for you. We got Fred. Hey, Fred.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
It's a good day for me, man.
Hey, it's good out here, too. I just had a comment and a couple of questions. Number one is, how many athletic departments does UVA have? It seems that there's one that is applicable to football and another one for the rest of the sports at UVA. And I don't know whether you or any of your guests remember the debacle that we went through with Jeff Jones in another sport, another major revenue sport, basketball, and how that was handled for 3 or 4 years until the basketball team went into the tank. And it looks like we're there again with our football program. And I'm a former student aid contributor, and right now I don't know whether I want to do that anymore.
Yeah, I know she said former, yeah.
And I'll take my answers and comments off the air.
All right. Thanks, Fred.
A lot.
And thanks for the call.
Well,
it's a good question. I mean, there seems to be a I think the university is confused as to what they want to be. Do they want to be the top 10 national power athletic program that pays the coach the big money and has the big stadium and the big band and puts together a national power, or do they want to be the hang on to tradition, having the pep band run around, you know, having the 6-5, 7-4 years, and be where you're pleased with the, you know, that you won some games and you got to go to a little bowl game, but you're never going to be the national juggernaut that maybe the coach's salary you deserve to get with the coach's salary. And it's a fine line to walk. I know there have been upgrades in some of the more, you know, the Olympic sports. The tennis team has had great results this year, but at the same time, the tennis team doesn't generate any revenue for the university at all, which is why I think that if Brian Boland's team all of a sudden went from 32-1 to 1-32, not much would be made of it, you know. But if, you know, if Al's team goes from 9-4 to 4-9 or 4-8, you know, it's all the fire growth signs come out. So you know, there have been a lot of upgrades made within the athletic department and over the last 10 years or so, actually, you know, 15, 20 years, and a lot of revenues made off of those programs, and a lot of money is brought into the university because of those programs. But it just it seems that that some decisions are being made that where, you know, one of my biggest pet peeves is that I feel like if they want to be that national power in the two major revenue sports, that that the coaches aren't being given all they're not being given fair shots. They're not going to be giving all the advantages that other programs within the state even are being given. A lot of the big time football schools now have gone to allowing January admissions, where if a kid is able to graduate from high school in December, he can start he can enroll in school in January and be able to participate in the practices in the spring and have an extra set of practices to be ready for the fall. And I think now they finally have come around to possibly allowing that. They'll take it on an individual basis, but the reason that was given behind not doing it in the past was that the player in question wouldn't be able to have the true, quote, first year experience, where they couldn't live in the dorms and meet all their friends, you know, that they'll be hanging out with for the next 4 years. And I think that's a very naive philosophy for some of the higher-ups that are making those decisions, because when you're talking about guys, you know, that are guys and gals that are, you know, participating in college athletic teams, you're giving your friends from day one. I mean, those are the people that you're going to spend, you know, 50 to 60 hours of work a week with, you know, on the field, off the field, in the weight room, in the classroom. And so you don't have to blend in and find your friends and find your niche in the college community like you would if you were a normal everyday student. I've asked this. This is a big pet peeve of mine, because we turned down a kid a couple of years ago who had a 4.0 GPA, wanted to come to UVA. We wouldn't allow him to enroll in January, and he's been starting at Boston College since the first day he walked on campus there. Again, the reason was the true first year experience. I asked, you know, why couldn't some of those kids? They, you know, you save two spots, and you're not talking about 100 kids. You're talking about maybe 6 to 10 kids a year in all the sports combined. The tennis team lost the number one kid in the country coming out of high school a couple of years ago, went on to Michigan for the exact same reason. So it's not just football. But I asked, why couldn't they just stay in the dorms for an extra semester? You move them in there in the spring, and then they stay through the following fall and spring. And I was given, that's a pretty good question. We'll have to look into that. And of course, nothing ever happened with it. But yeah, I think there's a very fine line on what UVA wants to do and what they can do. So
11:53 on the wake up call. Thanks, Fred. That was a great question. If you have one, we have 7-8 minutes left. 979-0919. Joe is here sharing stuff with us about sports at UVA. Joe, you mentioned that being a pet peeve. As a university fan, as you said, for 34 years, attending the games, you must have more pet peeves.
Oh, there's there's a ton. There's a ton. I actually saw this year on the message boards, I've heard I've seen more and more where the event staff asking people to sit down and not yell so loud, or no, not cheer, and so they can be, you know, so people behind them can kind of, I guess, see. I tell you what, if you're sitting in front of me at a game and you want to stand up and yell your head off, you go right ahead. That means I can stand up too, and you know, rather than getting my normal crouch position where my back is broken by the end of the game, because I know that I'm a nutcase at football games, and I let people around me at the beginning of the season know just how crazy I am. But I also try to be respectful of those around me. I know that, especially where I sit, some of the folks are a little older and they don't want to stand up for 3 hours. And so I spend a lot of the time hunched over. But I was watching the Auburn LSU game last night, and their event staff is also dressed in yellow, and I actually saw one turn around and wave their arms to the fans louder, 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 and I just kind of chuckled to myself, because I know that in a million years that would never, ever happen here. So, It's putting the muzzle on the game day environment is something that we tend to be pretty good at here.
9790919. If you got a question for late in the program for Joe, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Let's thank 45fix.com for supporting the hour today. If you have a project but not the time, there's a simple way to find a contractor. From kitchen and bathroom remodeling, house painting, to decks and siding, that's 45fix.com. Immediate, no obligation estimates available anytime. That's the number 4 and the number 5 and the word fix.com. It is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. All right, Joe, I know you have another pet peeve. Fire out a third one.
A third pet peeve, huh? Let's see.
Does it bother you about the parking and the way that the parking is divvied up? I realize now I'm sort of breaking my own the way we started in the program about expanding it, and so these last few minutes have become more of the university sports and the way they run the program. Because Fred had a great point about how many athletic departments do we have.
Right.
And they seem to cater to the football team and sometimes to the basketball team. And everybody else gets, you know, to let loose.
Yeah, yeah.
And
there definitely have been programs over the years that have let loose and had to try and had that reputation around grounds and have had to rein their guys in or their gals in. But you never really seem to hear about those programs at least not in the negative light. I think that's just par for the, you know, it's the big revenue versus small revenue. And you know, it's not to call out any teams, but if certain teams out there know that are national championship winners, that know if their guys tend to get busted for drinking a beer underage, it's not really going to make the Cav deal.
Well, in early 90s, we had a championship team that has almost as many players as a football team, but who runs a lot back and forth up and down the field, won 3 or 4 national titles.
Yeah.
And based on where I worked, there were, and the parties that happened afterward, there were a lot of underage drinkers in that sport.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just never made the news.
Exactly. Well, and again, though, in the 80s and 90s, I think it was a lot easier to have it swept under the rug. It's funny, on Al's show the other night, there was
Coach Al Groh has his own
show,
radio program.
Yeah, on Monday nights, and there was a caller whose son had played at Clemson and was really calling out the administration for what they believed to be just jumping on Peter Lawlick for something as small. And it is against the law, but as small as underage drinking. And he said at Clemson, there are much, much larger things that are swept under the rug and had been done for his son. This latest one, I don't understand at all. If there's a possible substance abuse problem with Pete, with Peter Lawlick going on, and to turn your back on him and to just dismiss him from the team, and it is my understanding that he hasn't been dismissed from the university, and he's actually allowed to stay on scholarship through the end of the year, but why he would want to do that is beyond me. I'm at a loss for words with the whole situation. I really just don't understand why they decided to do what they do, what they've done, and unless there just has to be a whole lot more to this story than what I've been told and what those that I know who are very, very close to the situation have lots of great sources, what they're being told as well. It's very confusing.
All right. Joe, thanks for coming on today.
That was a lot of fun.
Good. Next week, boys and girls, it's Fundraiser Sunday. It's always the most exciting Sunday of the year for me. Spring and fall, Fundraiser Sunday. Bring it on.
Rick, I know a couple of fundraisers that I could probably get in here and help you out.
Actually,
yeah.
Well, thank you very much. We'll chat more about the show, chat more about that after this program winds down. Drew's up next. Les Dems Purdue.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.
WNRN and 88.1.